This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to Zaslow Show 2.0, presented from day one by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. You're dealing with any kind of accident, any personal injury, slip and fall, motorcycle, car accident, bike. Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys, 800-747-FREE. That's 800-747-3733. Title sponsors from day number one. No, before. For day number one of Zaslow Show 2.0, my guys Mark Anajar, Glenn Levine, Ellie Anajar, they believe in me. If you're listening to the show right now and you're dealing with any kind of personal injury, I'm sending you to my friends, Anajar and Levine, Accident Attorneys. You don't have to deal with the insurance companies. You don't have to deal with the medical bills. You need to focus on getting right. That's where they come in. They handle all the stuff that you don't want to be bothered with. You need to make sure you're getting healthy, and they're going to make sure you're getting the money that you deserve. Anajar and Levine, Accident Attorneys, 800-747-FREE. That's 800-747-3733. Proud title sponsors of Zaslow Show 2.0. Welcome aboard. This is Zaslow Show 2.0. Welcome, Zaslow Show 2.0. It is a Wednesday, the 1st of May. Good to have you aboard, part of the Believe Podcast Network, and presented, as always, by Anajar and Levine, Accident Attorneys, 800-747-FREE, 800-747-3733. If you've been involved in any kind of an accident, you go to my title sponsor of everything Zaslow Show 2.0. They'll get you compensated. They'll put their skills to work for you. Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys, 800-747-FREE, 800-747-3733. We are right smack in the middle of the week, but we still got a great show playing for everybody. We're going to talk to our pal, former executive producer of the Dan Le Batard Show, Mike Ryan, is going to join us on the show. He was not in studio when I was on the Le Batard Show last week. He will be on with us here on Zaslow Show 2.0 today. We'll talk Panther hockey with him. We'll ask him a little bit about the Heat. We'll touch on a number of things, but mostly, he's one of the few people here in South Florida sports media who is not a bandwagon when it comes to the Florida Panthers. He is someone who has always loved the Panthers, just like me. He is one of the few that I believe is enjoying everything that's going on with the Panthers the same way that I do. So, when you get Mike Ryan on, we'll talk Panther hockey. Last night, actually, was a really good night for the Panthers, even though they didn't play. I know Matthew Tkachuk is coming up today on the Pat McAfee Show. I'm looking forward to catching that. You know what else I always look forward to? Whenever I go to Bet Online, that's right, your number one source for all of our sports this summer season. MLB, golf, NBA, NHL, all the latest stats, news, scores, all available to follow all of our favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use the mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, the game starts here. So, last night, I did game night on ESPN Radio with my guy Hugh Myers. If you are hanging out with us, I appreciate that. Heavy NBA night last night. That's where we're going to start. Well, actually, let me start real quick telling you about why last night was a good night for the Panthers. So, Panthers are sitting around waiting now for the winner of Toronto and Boston. Carolina ended their series last night with the Islanders. They're going to play the Rangers to see who comes out of that Metro division. The Panthers are waiting for the winner of Toronto and Boston. Last night was game five. The Maple Leafs won in overtime to force a game six. That's exactly what we want, because we want those two teams to murder each other while the Panthers sit aside and wait for the winner of that series. So let them keep going at it. Hopefully the Leafs win again and we go to a seventh game. I don't give a shit which one of them we play. It's bad news for either one of them, but we want them to keep beating each other up while the Panthers sit, wait, chill, get healthy, and then we're ready to take that ass as early as this weekend. So last night was a good night for your favorite little hockey team. All right, the NBA though last night. So as bad as the first couple days of the NBA playoffs were, remember, that opening weekend of the NBA playoffs, oh my God, awful. We're now getting some drama. Now we got some action. And it's funny the way that it works, right? Because the Western Conference, what we all saying all throughout the season, I was saying it, the Western Conference, it's going to be a bloodbath. The Western Conference playoffs have stunk. You had Oklahoma City sweep. You had Minnesota sweep. You had Denver winning five games. And then you got this Clipper-Mavericks series, which is wacky, all right? I don't know what's going to happen there. But three of the four series have been terrible. Very short series. The Eastern Conference is where the drama's at. You got, last night, the Bucks force a game six. The 76ers force a game six. Cavs and Magic, they're going to six games. Also, tonight, of course, the Heat will look to force a game six. So we have at least three game sixes in the East, which means potentially we have maybe three game sevens in the East. Eastern Conference has been where it's at in the NBA playoffs. But last night, so I'll touch real quick, and then we're going to get Mike Ryan on board here. I'll touch real quick on what happened with the Cavaliers and Magic. So, by the way, Cavaliers and Magic, I know everybody likes to bust on that series, you know, because it's the NBA TV series. If you're on NBA TV, that's like a label you can't shed. That's the Bobo series, right? Cavs and Magic. That was a great game last night. While I was doing ESPN Radio last night, I had the regular TV on here in the Zaslow Mansion studio in the master bedroom. And on my iPad, I had the other NBA game. Cavs Magic was a great game last night. Now, you can't trust the Cavaliers to be struggling the way they are against the Magic. You can't trust them. But they pulled that out last night. They're going to go to game six. That series feels like seven. It feels like the home team is going to win every single game. Pacers and Bucks. Pacers are not a serious team. There's no other way to look at it. No Dame, no Giannis. You can't get blown out by the Bucks. Doesn't matter what venue the game's at. Doesn't matter they were in Milwaukee. Pacers are not a serious team. I know Tyrese Halliburton, I guess he's dealing with some type of injury from the middle of the season. What the hell happened to Tyrese Halliburton? Like, we were having conversations in the middle of the year how Tyrese Halliburton, best point guard in the NBA. Or, like, he's in the conversation as the next best point guard in the NBA. Where has he been this series? And Siakam, you can't count on Siakam giving you 35 every single night. Here's where this game turned, though. The Pacers were up double figures in the up 12, I think it was, in the second quarter. And then Pat Beverly does the Pat Beverly nonsense, which, look, you know how I feel about Pat Beverly. His act is tired. And Obi Toppin is holding the basketball, and Pat Beverly does the thing where he wants the ball. He wants to inbound fast, so he tries to take it from him. There's pushing and there's shoving. Obi Toppin gets a technical foul, and from that point on, in the second quarter, Beverly went on to score 12 points alone in the second quarter, and from that point on, Bucks took over the game. Like, that was the turning point in the game, and they beat the shit out of them the rest of the way. I think the Pacers still win game six and that series is over. I think Doc Rivers post-game, while he's telling you that Lillard, Giannis, they're very close, I think that's all posturing. I think that's gamesmanship. I don't think either one of them are close. And here's really why I don't think either one of them are close. If they were close enough that after the game, Doc Rivers is telling you they're really, really close. Last night was an elimination game. If they're really, really close, they're sitting out an elimination game? Really? they're sitting out an elimination game because they need an extra 2 days, and then they're ready to play? If they're really, really close, you play in an elimination game. You go out there, you gut it out. You saw what Joel Embiid did. You go out there and you gut it out if you're really, really close. Can you imagine you lose an elimination game, your season is over, and why didn't Giannis and Lillard play? Well, they were really close, but we decided, you know what, season's over, whatever. Like, that doesn't add up to me. I think it's gamesmanship. I don't think we're going to see them this series. I don't think we're going to see anyone on the Bucks after Game 6. I think the Pacers are going to close that out. But last night at Madison Square Garden was the game of the year. The Sixers extend to a Game 6. And if I could tell you, like, if the Sixers win this series, and maybe even if they don't, but if the Sixers win this series, last night is the maxi game. Sixer fans are going to recall that was the maxi game. Joel Embiid had the best, worst game I've ever seen. He was horrible. 19 points, 16 rebounds, 10 assists. Yeah, triple-double. 9 turnovers. He was horrible. It was the best, worst game I've ever seen. And I think we are officially at the place where the process is a failure. They're never going to win with Embiid. I do believe they can win with Maxey. Now, what that means is, I'm not saying, oh, Maxey needs to be their best player now, or Maxey needs to have the ball more. No, it means that eventually, I don't think they're ever going to win with Embiid. And when Embiid eventually moves on, because he's on the wrong side of 30 at this point, he's never, ever healthy. You absolutely cannot count on him. I do think when they move on from Embiid and Maxey is the main guy, I think you could build around him and that could be a championship team. Like this, there are two players right now, maybe three, Anthony Edwards to a lesser extent, two players right now who are having star-making appearances in the postseason. We all kind of knew about Anthony Edwards, but the two guys are one, Tyrese Maxey, he is a superstar, and two, Paolo Banchero in Orlando. He is a superstar. What a fantastic year and series Banchero is having. But last night, Tyrese Maxey, and this happened to the Sixers earlier in the series. Tyrese Maxey and the Sixers are down 96-90 after Miles McBride hits a jumper with 28 seconds left. Then you get the Maxey four-point play. Terrible job by Mitchell Robinson. Look, just stand. Just stand like a tree. Put your arms up. Instead, he goes for the pump fake. Why? Gets the four-point play, 96-94. Josh Hart almost airballs the first free throw. And because of the Mitchell Robinson foul, Hart making only one of two free throws allows the Sixers still a chance to tie. If Mitchell Robinson just allows Tyrese Maxey to shoot the three, okay, Hart misses a free throw, no big deal. But instead, now Maxey comes up, drains the long three, 97 all, 7 points in the final 28 seconds. And then in overtime, the Knicks score the first 5 points. So the Sixers finish overtime 15-4. The Maxey game. Incredible effort by the Sixers. That crowd there, you know, the Garden was so pumped up. Obviously, I hate the Knicks. I hate the Knicks fan, but even I think the Garden's the best environment. I think MSG, it's the best environment in all of basketball when the Knicks are good, like last night. And that crowd, they were ready to explode with under a minute to go in regulation. And to have it ripped out from them, holy shit. It's why, like, sports are the best and they're the worst. It's why I told my son, my 12-year-old son Jordan, we're after the Heat lost the play-in game to the Sixers. And he was on the verge of tears, right? And I told him, like, yeah, this is it. When you're invested, the highs are really high and the lows are really low. I don't think this changes anything for the Knicks. Clearly, it doesn't matter home or road. The road team has won 3 of these 5 games so far. I strongly believe the Knicks go into Game 6 and they win in Philadelphia again. But that, I felt bad for the Knicks fan last night. I really did. That to go from that range of emotion so high to so low in seconds. Oh, it's such a killer. I really did. I felt bad. I know you're probably saying, Zaslow, fuck the Knicks fan. Who cares? I don't know. I felt a little bit bad. I have a little bit of a heart today. So, incredible job by Maxey last night. I don't think anything changes, though, for the Knicks. I don't think there's any kind of carryover. And there's no reason that you could believe that Embiid's going to be any healthier. He looks terrible out there. So bad. The decision-making, even. The passing. He's so off the mark out there. The decisions are so poor. They're never going to win with him. I'm at that point now. There is nothing he could do to change my mind. They will never, ever win with Joel Embiid. All right. Anyway, last night, great night for the NBA playoffs. Tonight, all right, we got two games. Dallas, LA Clippers at 10. Heat, Celtics, 7:30. Is this the final game of the season for our favorite little basketball team, the Miami Heat? Now, whether it's the final game of the season or not, if you follow Sheets and Giggles on Twitter, at Sheets Giggles, you're always going to get promo codes, sales, all kinds of notifications to get the softest, coolest, most breathable bed sheets out there. That's right. Sustainable eucalyptus mattresses, sheets, comforters, pillows. Go to SheetsGiggles.com. You're not going to have to wonder where you're going to get your bed sheets ever again. You're going to go to SheetsGiggles.com, and it's the only place you're going to shop for your bed sheets now. If you're following them on Twitter, my man Colin, the founder and CEO of Sheets and Giggles, he's always putting promo codes out there based on what happens in sports. So follow him there. But if it's your first time going to SheetsGiggles.com and making an order, use promo code Zaslow, 20% off your first order when you go to SheetsGiggles.com. I had a friend who ordered the other day. She was stunned that she got such a big discount. 20% off. I was like, yeah, tell all your family and friends. First time at SheetsGiggles.com. Use promo code Zaslow. 20% off your first order. That's what we're talking about. SheetsGiggles.com. Promo code Zaslow. SheetsGiggles.com. So, no Kristaps Porzingis tonight. It feels like the Heat season is over. Jaime Jaquez didn't make the trip. He's got a problem with his hip. Jimmy Butler, Terry Rozier. Duncan Robinson is not healthy, but I assume he'll play. He might start with Jaime Jaquez Jr. out. The only way they win this game tonight, they're so shorthanded. It's got to be one of those nights, the way they won the only game they won this series, where they hit 23 threes. Now, no Porzingis is a big deal for Boston. I'm not going to sit here and doubt Eric Spoelstra. Can the Heat come back and win three games against this Boston team? That's not the way to think about it. Can the Heat win one game in a building that they have owned the last couple of years, and they won the last time they were there last week in game two? Can this Heat team win one game at the Celtics tonight? The answer to that is yes. I'm not going to doubt Eric Spoelstra. Anyone at this point who doubts Eric Spoelstra dialing something up, we get to a point where there aren't any more adjustments to be made. But going up against Coach Mazzarella for Boston, I mean, you have no faith in that psychopath. So do I believe that Eric Spoelstra can come up with something tonight? Yeah, you know what? I do. So I'm locked in. I got the guts tonight. Can the Heat be great one time? I believe they can. So let's go. Come on. All right. So we got the Heat tonight. We got today's Wednesday. All right, I got a little pro wrestling, AEW Dynamite. So some stuff. You know what? And after the Heat game, or even before the Heat game, you're wondering what there is to do. Hey, you reconnect with the family, get to know the kids' names again. Maybe spend a little time at dinner. Since there's no Panthers tonight, we don't have both going on at the same time. You could just focus on the Heat. Also spend a little bit of time with your family. How about that? There you go. I just helped you out tonight. Johnny Cuba, European roots with that Caribbean soul, a refreshing German lager in a can. Pick up a six-pack of Johnny Cuba for yourself, your local Sedanos, Presidente, Winn-Dixie, Fresco y Mas. We always drink responsibly, of course, in the Zaslow Mansion. And don't forget Johnny Cuba's mantra, stay tranquilo. Our pal here is Mike Ryan, former executive producer of the Levitard Show. Now he's in charge of talent acquisition, extra projects. I don't know what kind of title you have going on there at Metalark. Do you want to correct me here? What's the official title there for you, Mike Ryan?
I like the ambiguity, Zaz. I guess executive producer at large for Metalark and business development, talent development. 2024 is a real fun year for me in that I have a lot of projects that I'm working on that I'm keeping very close to the vest.
Okay.
So for the time being, ambiguity is the appropriate tact.
Okay. All right. Very good. Now, I want to talk to you. You know, there. I don't know that there are many people in our market who are as fired up and have been as dedicated of a Florida Panther fan as I have, but you're one of the few that come to mind here. So I do want to get to the Panthers and all of that with you. Are you excited, though, first? That's really what I want to talk to you about. But let's get some other stuff out of the way. First, the Heat tonight. Does the Heat season end tonight in Boston?
I kind of hope so. And I understand that as a Heat fan, look, I'm wearing a white hot shirt and maybe my messaging has gotten in the way of the fact that I'm truly passionate about the Miami Heat and I love this franchise. And I think that since their inception, they've been as first class, maybe not as successful, but once you get that pesky Michael Jordan out of the way, as successful as anyone outside of the Lakers in the NBA. But I don't think that there has been a season quite like this one in that they've received the message so clearly that they are simply not where they need to be, that there is a talent disparity that they need to make up specifically within the conference to be competing at the level that we're used to. And you could blame it on injuries. I think the injuries are unfortunate for several reasons in that we didn't get a more competitive series. It was tougher to make evaluations on players that you kind of wanted to wait till the playoffs to fully judge because Duncan Robinson had made tremendous strides throughout the season, but that looming playoff questions and doubts that we had about the player, those questions go unanswered right now. I'm excited for the discourse to change, for people to start thinking rationally and start having some uncomfortable conversations about this roster construction. And there won't be a big announcement from Heat Twitter. You won't see it publicly when they lay their shields down. But I do think whether it's tonight or the next game, you are going to see a bit of a sea change with regards to how people talk about this franchise. And I welcome that.
Well, but what would you have had them do different going into this season? Like they identified the player that they wanted. And you have that cockroach out in Portland who refused to engage with the Heat. So,
right.
Like, what did you want them to do going into this season?
I think looking back on it, I think it's a fair accusation. Number one, two ways. I do think that I do speak to the conspiracy theories that there is some kind of conspiracy against the Miami Heat in that teams are not willing to deal with them in ways that they're willing to deal with other teams. And you have media arms kind of propagandize this message, kind of dilute the assets. I think with a treetop view, we realize that Miami's offer was pretty competitive, especially when you look at all the injuries that happened there. However, publicly, Miami Heat took a position that was really chock full of hubris. And I think if they could do it over again, they'd be a little bit more low-key about it, especially with the Tyler Hero stuff that they later refuted and said Tyler Hero was never on there. But the Tyler Hero take it or leave it public stance that a lot of the media that we trust to cover them kind of echoed. I think if you look back on that, that was probably a bit too cocky and really helped put them in the position that they were in, where they were essentially blackballed. And I'm glad that you mentioned that because, yes, we know the top-line stars that they've whiffed on. But there have also been tier two, tier three types of acquisitions that other people inside the conference have made. When you talk about a Pascal Siakam, when you talk about an OG Anunoby, I think I'd even put, even though he's like a tier one talent, but a tier two, tier three problem is Kyrie Irving. I think if you look back at some of the evaluations and calls that they made, and I understand the Kyrie Irving thing, especially for this franchise, is far more complicated than any of that stuff. But I do think Siakam and OG would have presented really interesting upgrades for this roster that could have been a bit more feisty. I'm not saying that this wins the Eastern Conference, but I do know for a fact that it probably plays out a little bit better for the Miami Heat's favor. So I'd like for them to stop failing on these assignments. And while the headliners get all the attention from Heat Twitter, I'm also concentrating on the Siakams and OG Anunobis of the world, because I think those pieces could have really helped.
Did you renew your Inter-Miami season tickets this year?
I did not renew my Inter-Miami season
tickets. Oh, it was a little bit too rich for your blood. You bowed out with the price increase.
Yeah, yeah, it was way too rich for my blood. I had very expensive seats. I had really, really big-time seats, Zaz, and I think it's been pretty well reported, the price increases for all the tiers. Specifically my tier, I got a 3x increase on my seat.
Mine went up significantly too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not so like yours, but yeah.
Yeah. And I had two seats. I was looking actually to add a third because my daughter's grown to an age where I like taking her to the games. We're looking at an investment in this club. When you consider where their stadium is located, it was hard. It was hard to get to that stadium. I'm passionate. I watch every Inter-Miami game, but
it's a horrible stadium to get to right now. The parking situation is horrible.
I had good parking. The parking situation wasn't so bad, but it is tough. Look, I live in the populous center of Miami-Dade County. It is Inter-Miami after all. If I wanted to go to a weekday fixture, it would take me close to 2 hours to support my soccer club, and that got a little bit too more difficult. I have other things going on in my life, and I'm really all in on the University of Miami, so I decided to take a look at my budget and realize that maybe when the stadium gets a little bit closer to me, I can justify that kind of price, but for now, I can't. And it's a shame because Leo Messi has really lived up to all of it. I remember doing this show, sounding the klaxon that Leo Messi was going to be coming. He's fulfilled the prophecy. If you look at the last 11 games, I think he scored on 10 and assisted on 11. He's been unbelievable. It's just strange to me that that club just feels so far away. It's almost like a made for television product.
I feel like it's lost a lot of momentum. I'm not 100% sure why. It may be because the beginning of the year, Messi missed all of those games. I feel like, and he's been playing now recently, like 3-4 games in a row. But I feel like that chunk of games that he missed there, I feel like it killed so much momentum for them. They're having a hard time getting it back.
They're playing well inside the conference too, yeah. Zaz. But look, they failed in the CONCACAF Champions Cup. They're not participating in the U.S. Open Cup. That's a whole nother subject. I'm not a fan of that. But really, up until July, when Leagues Cup ramps up, and that's when he joined this club properly last year, and I love that competition. I think it's such a great made-for-television product. I as a fan of Liga MX soccer, I love these dream matchups where you get to see MLS clubs versus Liga MX. So I'm really excited and hopeful for that competition in the middle of the summer when there's less competition, when there's less of a congested sports calendar, to really re-engage this South Florida sports market. It's tough. Right now you have two playoff teams that's going to dwindle down to one, but I've coined the phrase fanned with. And I think unfortunately for Inter-Miami, when it comes to local talking points, they're kind of outside that fanned with allotment presently.
I kept my tickets this year, although I have not been to a game yet. I sell all the games, all right? And I am making business is a booming. And so I had a buddy who has always split my Inter-Miami tickets with me. He bowed out this year because of the price increase, so I held on to them. I'm going to go down with the ship. And so I've been selling tickets for all the games. And like I said, business is booming. And every time I sell the tickets, like last night, just sold my tickets for New York Red Bulls. All I do is I send my buddy a message, and it's a meme of the $1 million man laughing.
Yeah, I made my investment. A full return on my investment last year, but where the ticket price increase was again for my tier of seats, I started capitulating towards the end of the year last year. And trust me, I do peek a gander at the secondary market to see what my ticket seats are going for and what I'd be paying. And it turns out that at least for my tier, I made the right decision.
Gotcha. All right. Talk about the right decision. So the other night, you got the Panthers and the Heat are playing at the same time. Now, I have never missed a Miami Heat playoff game in my life, all right? And I've certainly never had this scenario where you got both teams are playing at home at the same time, and I'm considering going to the Panthers over the Heat. But after the Panthers lost game four, to bring it back here for game five, I've never been at a closeout game. I mean, I haven't had very many opportunities. I've never been to a closeout game for the Florida Panthers. And I just decided, fuck it. I'm buying the tickets. I bought the tickets to the Panthers. I kept track of the Heat on my phone. I haven't watched it on my phone for a while, but then it got out of hand. I'm like, fuck this. You know, I got to pay attention to what's in front of me here. So I took my son. We went to the game the other night, game five. And like I said, you're someone who I know has loved the Panthers since their existence like I have. And it's such a great thing that I'm experiencing right now with the Panthers because, yes, I was there during the you know, obviously the Heat when they went in 06 and then in 12 and 13. But I'm experiencing what's going on with the Panthers now with my teenage boys, which is a completely different ball game I have learned as a sports fan. So just in general, what's going on right now with the Panthers? I mean, hell, Mike, last year, they didn't even win. And I don't know how, if they won the Stanley Cup last year, how I could have enjoyed the run more than I actually did. Like, I guess it would be better if they won the Stanley Cup, but I don't know how, because last year was amazing and they didn't even win.
Last year was amazing, particularly when you analyze how they got there, especially in that first round, coming back from 3-1, pull the goalie, Montour equalized, Swaggy calls game, and then they just flat track Toronto, and the games against Carolina were super exciting. It was a sweep that, according to their head coach, wasn't actually a sweep. But you talk about closeout games. That was one with Chucky in the game winner, and now an iconic image of him on his
look,
knees.
Look, I got it right here. That's it right there when he's skating to the bench after the goal right there on my wall.
Is great. And I traveled to Washington, D.C. when the Panthers had their first opportunity to clinch a game on the road and get out of the first round in some time. I've loved this franchise, and I got to see early success when this franchise started when I was a child. It built my fandom for the rest of my life. It was one magical run. I got the privilege to work for the Panthers. Unfortunately, my timing was bad and it was during a lockout. And then a lot of great hard partying years were wasted on Ville Peltonen and David Booth and teams that some frisky teams like the Catlantic and Yawker gave us certainly a year that we got excited about, but it was a bit of a doldrum when it came to getting people outside of that hockey bubble, people that truly were passionate about the sport. And I'm so grateful now that not only do we have a team that can really engage this South Florida market, and I say South Florida emphatically because this does really feel like Broward's team to a degree in ways that it doesn't feel like Dade's team. Whereas Miami, there's more of a cultural connection, more of a communal connection to the team. Broward has that with 954, and I love that for them. But also specifically to have a star that is willing to take that onto his shoulders, wants it, loves being the face of this franchise. It really glazes our market anytime he has an opportunity to talk about it. And Matthew Tkachuk, I think that's great because I imagine your teenagers love Matthew Tkachuk. He's got the mouthpiece, there's the haircut, their brand, the style of play, their branding.
Well, that's what I said when they traded for him. I'm like, you guys are going to love this guy. He is going to be perfect for us. Were you there Monday night for game five closeout?
I was not. I actually, in my calendar, I'm the University of Miami is honoring Katie Meyer for her incredible 19-year run. And in my calendar, I had that reception for the Monday that just passed. It's actually this coming Monday. But at the same time, my wife had a girls' night, so I was stuck dadding. But I did get to watch it from home. I've had my fair share of closeout games, both at home and on the road, and I've really enjoyed it. Man, the playoffs, too. At this point in year, when you got four screens, it's an easier sell. Trust me, I wanted to be there. I heard our barn was an insane asylum.
Amazing.
For that game. But I'll have plenty of opportunities coming up. I'm hopeful.
And these Stanley Cup playoffs, it's unmatched. You know, I used to tell people when I was on 790 a ticket, and you know, Stanley Cup playoffs, if you're not watching, if you're a sports fan, like, you are missing out. And that was before we had a team that was in the mix every year. And so now you got a team that's in the mix every season, just the tension, because you look at 6-1, it's like, oh, we kicked the shit out of them. All right, the last 8 minutes of the game, we kicked the shit out of them. But the first 52 minutes of that game, we were in the pressure cooker. Like, that, the game was so tight. It was an incredible game. And just the tension of literally any second here, every single shift, every little thing means something in all of these games. There's nothing like it.
No, and I could argue that so far the NHL, just grading on the curve that they've established, the first round's kind of been a little bit disappointing by their standards because they're usually just outrageous. The overtime games are a bit low right now. But when you get to the elimination games, it goes up just a whole nother level. And I love the drama that's associated with the NBA playoffs, but when it comes to the NHL playoffs, there are quantifiable metrics that suggest playoff puck is just different. Hits go up, block shots go up, totals for the game go down a full goal. These are things that odds makers are telling you are real things. It's not your eyes lying to you. I love playoff puck, and thank God we finally have a team that not only has been in the mix for a little bit, but looks like, because of the contract situation and they have a lot of young talent locked in, it's going to be a part of that discussion for a few more years.
We'll get right back to the conversation, guys. But first, I want to tell you, if you're thinking about getting a new car, I'm sending you to the only car dealership I personally endorse. Yeah, I'm talking about North Fort Lauderdale Subaru. At North Fort Lauderdale Subaru, we're talking an extensive new and pre-owned Subaru inventory, plus used cars, trucks, SUVs of every make and model. You are sure to find your next vehicle at North Fort Lauderdale Subaru. Plus, all new Subarus and most pre-owned vehicles come with a lifetime warranty, so you know that you're covered. Hey, maybe you just want to get your current vehicle serviced. Luckily for you, did you know that at North Fort Lauderdale Subaru, they service all makes and models? That's right. So either way, you're going to be treated like royalty when you go to North Fort Lauderdale Subaru. And with prices less than many of those small shops, you can service with confidence at North Fort Lauderdale Subaru. You're getting an exceptional experience every time you walk in the showroom doors at that brand new state-of-the-art facility on North Andrews Avenue. You know which one I'm talking about. It's that beautiful building. And you could see it from I-95 at the Cypress Creek Road exit. North Fort Lauderdale Subaru, the only car dealership I endorse here on Zaslow Show 2.0, and that's because I want to make sure you guys get the best deal around. Go to nflsubaru.com. That's nflsubaru.com. North Fort Lauderdale Subaru, the location you know with an experience you'll love.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I've never done more of a 180, in my opinion, of any South Florida sports figure as I have Paul Maurice over the last year. Can you think of an instance where you have done more of a 180 where that's my guy now? I will never ever question anything.
Sergei Bobrovsky.
And he's the next one. Yeah. I feel the same way about Bobrovsky. That is my guy. Yeah. I don't care what he does the rest of his career here, although I'm confident he's going to do well, that's my guy. I mean, think about this, Mike. At the arena the other day, it's 2-0. The Lightning score on the power play to make it 2-1. The crowd immediately starts chanting, "Bobby, he just gave up a goal." And the crowd is chanting, "Bobby," between the two of them. I've never done more of a 180 for a South Florida sports figure. Those are my guys.
Yeah, well, this is a kind of a chapter out of the Tampa Bay blueprint in how you build a hockey market. And thankfully, Tampa, earlier in their franchise's history, got one, and then they lost some momentum because of the associated lockouts. But they rebuilt, and they had sustained winning. And you go there, you can sack Tampa as a great hockey town, amongst some of the best hockey markets, at least in this country. And as someone that has gone to pretty much every playoff series between Florida and Tampa, you see an increase in red sweaters every time the Florida Panthers play. And on the other side,
I saw hardly any blue sweaters the other night. Very few.
And if you remember what that first series was, the one that Spencer Knight played in that went to six, I mean, there was a good 25% chunk that was Tampa Bay fans over there. And the reason why there's fewer sweaters, it's not because there's fewer Tampa Bay Lightning fans that are passionate to travel. It's because there's more season ticket holders that are not reselling their tickets. And so I think that what's happening down here is a very interesting case study. Hopefully the Miami Marlins are taking a good hard look at what Vinny Viola and the Florida Panthers have done to reengage and get success on the field of play to build a sustainable fan base. Because what they've had stacking years like this of real actual contention has been something that really the Marlins, maybe you could argue after they won the World Series in 03, they were aggressive. They made some deals. They got Delgado in here. They were kind of in the mix late seasons. But the Marlins in their entire history, they haven't really had that sustained run of people talking playoffs. They've had these flash in the pan world championships upon reflection, or flash in the pan recent playoff appearances, which just signaled another teardown. So it's been very frustrating for them. And I really, truly hope that they look at the Florida Panthers specifically on how to actually have a sustainable growth model in this market.
You talked about this on the Lebatard show, I think yesterday, and you echoed exactly my sentiment this entire season in regards to the Panthers and the Lightning, where I've been saying all, you know, I took a picture after the game during the handshake line, and then I posted it on social media, and I said, I've been waiting all year for this moment, because I didn't care how good the Lightning were going to be, or, you know, if the Lightning were going to be a lesser team than they've been the last few years. The entire season, I want the Lightning in the playoffs. It could be the first round. I don't care when it is. For us to get to where we need to go, we have to go through the Tampa Bay Lightning. So I loved that we came down to the last day of the season. We win the division and we get the Lightning. If you're this is the way it normally works out for professional sports. You got to go through some heartache before you break through. And the Panthers went through the heartache in 21. They went through the heartache in 22. They went through it in 23. Two of those losses were to Tampa. Well, now to get to where we need to go, we have to go through Tampa Bay. And if you look at the way the Panthers have won the past two first rounds before this year, overtime games on the road, like super tight situations. Guess what? This time around, they left no doubt. Like, this is the buildup. This is what you need if you're going to eventually win.
It's what the story was missing. And you're a big wrestling fan. Cody Rhodes finishing his story feels less than if he doesn't go through specifically Roman Reigns. If Cody Rhodes, quote, finishes his story for what they presented on television as a secondary title through a champion that wasn't Roman Reigns, it would feel less than. For Florida to continue on this journey, for them to finish their story, a big piece of that, a huge chunk of that, was their in-state rival who eliminated them and dashed the hopes of people. I think I speak for you in that I've always been passionate about hockey. Year after year, I'm just learning more about the game. I'm watching it differently. This team has taught me the different styles. Paul Maurice specifically, there was a huge lesson in that. I also had to delete some tweets because that was a very not fun growing
I came
process.
On the Lebatard show a year ago. I traded Sasha Barkov.
Yeah.
I mean, I traded him. We were down 3-1, you know, we all ate our words.
We have. And this is a testament to the process and us learning and us like not. Honestly, I wish Heat fans could take a chapter of take some notes here, because sports fans can have it wrong. I was plenty wrong last year with the Miami Heat. You don't have to be so selfish and self-involved that it makes you enjoy it less. If it results in a championship, are you kidding me? I'd love to be wrong like that. That's like the most fruitful way to be wrong. We can have it wrong sometimes, and the process can work out sometimes, even when the results in the ramp up to it don't go your way. It's been a really tremendous story, and I really hope that they get to finish it and they get to bring that to this market, because I'm so excited about the possibilities. You look at where Tampa has gone, where players can't even dine out without being recognized. I know that's part of the appeal of this market in particular, that they can go out and be unrecognized. But to have this market in particular become a hockey market, that defies logic, defies the odds, and I would love to see it.
Can we tell Greg Cody to tone it down a little bit on already declaring that the Panthers are going to win the Stanley Cup? I mean, we got 12 more games we got to win. It's the hardest trophy to win in sports. I'm super excited, too, that they won the other night, but it's only the first round. We have another month and a half here.
It's going to be hard. I It kind of feels to me, and maybe the odds don't reflect this, it's kind of felt to me, especially when Carolina broke up the road win streak, that those two franchises, Carolina and Florida, still have more story to tell. And it just seems like we're on a collision course then with them. I personally believe, if you ask me who I think is going to win the Stanley Cup, I think it's the Florida Panthers. I'm not going to come out and be brash about it. But I do think that Florida was more talented and 5-on-5 as long as they stood out of the box. And look, what an idiot am I. They didn't stay out of the box. It was a big advantage for Tampa Bay, and their defense erased them. But I do think Florida is more talented and tougher than Boston. They're certainly tougher than Toronto. If everybody's healthy, maybe some people, at least offensively, would prefer the talent of Toronto. But defensively, I don't think that they can hang with the problems that Florida presents. There's a reason why, and when you look at the odds, Florida is top three to lift the cup right now. So I'm really, really bullish on their chances this year. I think this is the best opportunity that has ever been presented to Panthers fans in terms of championship prospects.
Finally here from Mike Ryan. How much are you enjoying pro wrestling right now? This shit is so good.
It's great. And I know that there's always like a post-mania hangover, and there's some stars that are getting surgeries and are just not really available. And I imagine that when they come back come SummerSlam season, we'll ramp back up then. I actually kind of appreciate the little dip, as my attention is kind of scattered throughout all the post-seasons right now. But pro wrestling is amazing, and it's a unique time in history in that when's the last time you've had a pure as the driven snow babyface be this over as a champion? We've had babyface champions before, but if you look back on it, it feels more like...
I guess Cena, right? But that's
he's
like
not pure
15.
As a driven snow, though. He wasn't. He was never. In fact, especially with the origins
first,
of the character.
He was first Dr. Thugonomics, you know?
Yeah. And then when he became like, okay, I'm just going to lean into being the kid's icon, it was a very divisive reaction that he got from the crowd. Let's go Cena. Cena sucks. I think you have to go all the way back to early days of Bret Hart as WWE.
Probably Bret Hart.
Yeah, as champion, where you had a true babyface that went on a lengthy run that maintained good babyface pop reactions. Now, I think the audience has already shown you, with Cody specifically down in AEW, and I know that there was other stuff going on there, and in conversations that I've had with Cody several years ago, it's cool to wonder aloud, like, how long can this possibly go before the crowd turns on him and goes and does what they did with Bret Hart, which is, oh, that anti-hero, that's a little bit cooler, you're kind of whack, how does that work out? I do hope, for the sake of wrestling fans, that this run is a little bit lengthy. I'm curious to know if wrestling fans can do that, because they are not programmed to go for the wholesome babyface USA all the way. It's kind of a bit of nostalgia to the days of Hulkamania running wild to say your vitamins and eat your prayers. I'm really appreciating the fact that this is, for our generation, rather unprecedented.
Sorry to break up the conversation, you guys, but I want to make sure that you got the best homeowners insurance out there. And that's why I direct you to Brunt Insurance. I've been getting my homeowners insurance from Brunt Insurance for about 10 years now. And I keep going back. I keep going back. I keep renewing because I know I have the most comprehensive coverage out there, and I'm getting it at the most affordable rate there is. You know, some of you guys, you're listening now on the west coast of Florida. God forbid you got some damage to your home because of the storm yesterday. Brunt Insurance, 954-589-2204, or you go to bruntinsurance.com. And yes, anywhere in Florida, Brunt Insurance has you covered. They have locations all throughout the state. So you could be calling from Pensacola or all the way down to the Keys and beyond. Greg Brunt and his team at Brunt Insurance, his fully licensed staff, they have the expertise, they have the experience, they know what area you're calling from. So they're going to know exactly what type of coverage you need, what kind of policies you have to make sure you have. Hey, that also includes trailers and motorhomes. Let the team at Brunt Insurance help you learn more about your policy options so you're making an informed decision that's not going to keep you up at night. And you don't even have to own your home. Renter's insurance, condo insurance, all the options out there. It can make your head spin. Brunt Insurance specializes in making the confusing crystal clear. When you call 954-589-2204, you're making the right call. Bruntinsurance.com, the only insurance agency that I'm going to send you to. I'll leave you with this as far as WWE goes. How pumped are you for this Drew McIntyre CM Punk feud? It's been good shit so far.
It has been good. I got to tell you, Phil lost me with a lot of his behavior at AEW, but that just makes me more of a Drew guy. And I think Drew's like a shit posting Twitter gimmick that's playing out in real life where he can actually, it's a little like when you look back with the mega powers imploding. Macho brought up a lot of great points. Like Hulk Hogan was a bit of a heel in that program.
In your eyes.
Yeah. And also, remember when Hulk Hogan got eliminated fair and square from the Royal Rumble and he just pulled Sid out? Like, heelish behavior over there.
Hogan used to use the steel chair. He used to rake the eyes. He would throw Mr. Fuji salt. I mean, Hogan was a big-time heel dressed as a babyface.
Yeah, whereas Drew, he's still getting heel reactions, and he's a pro. He knows what to do on the mic to get those heel reactions. That's what he's going for. But if you listen to what he is saying, tell him when he's telling lies. Drew's been keeping it 100 the entire time. So I think he's doing the best work of his career. While the prospect of a big marquee name like that switching companies always keeps things interesting, I think he is in just such a great groove at WWE that I actually would have been low-key disappointed if he moved, because I do want to see this storyline with CM Punk, provided that CM Punk can stay healthy, because he has not shown that. I do hope that there is a big blowout there, and the emotional investment that they're getting from the audience will more than make up for whatever deficiencies Phil has in the ring these days.
I'll leave you with one more. Who is a young star right now in WWE that you're most excited for, that you like the most right now?
This is going to be a basic answer, but I think that with Cody Rhodes, you have one real logical opponent to make him have a rivalry that rings eternal beyond the Roman thing, which will ring eternal. But I think Logan Paul is him. I think Logan Paul has the reach. I think he has the chops, both in ring and on the mic. I am a huge Logan Paul fan. I think that dude has taken to this sport more naturally than anyone I can think of, especially when you consider all the pressure and resources pumped into making this look good. I love Logan Paul, and that's not the cool thing to say. I think wrestling lifers
he's phenomenal. Come on, I'm a wrestling lifer. I think he's phenomenal.
They like to shit on this guy because he's an outsider. Yeah. I think he helps. I think when the time is right, strap a rocket to him, he could be the guy.
For me, I love Tiffany Stratton. Oh, yeah. I can't take my eyes off her on TV. She is amazing.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see how, because WWE has been pretty plodding with this, and it seems like inevitably this will go the way that all tag teams go, and Bianca and Jade will break up. But sure. I do like that they're tapping the storyline into what I'm sure is happening behind the scenes, which is Bianca helping Jade throughout this transition, because judging by the pops Jade is getting, she gives off star in ways that Tiffany Stratton might approach, but it's hard to find someone that just naturally walks into that room, walks out into that ring, and just conveys superstar in the way that she does. And I hope that she can get it together in ring and wrestle the WWE style, because she is, man, Brandon Phillips had to figure it out, huh? He had it.
Oh my God. Yeah. For people who don't know, Jade Cargill is married to former Reds second baseman Brandon Phillips. Mike, excellent job. Let everybody know anything you got coming up. Metal Arc Media, Levitard Show. Go ahead.
Metal Arc Media, Levitard Show going ahead right now. Those things are, we hope to get Zaz in the mix a little bit more. And I'm working on a lot of cool stuff that I can't say just yet. But if you're interested in a little bit more insight into what's going on in my life, I am behind a paywall on X. Subscribe for less than a cup of coffee. Get all the great University of Miami insight that has essentially been blackballed from the main feed. And some occasional winners, some losers too. But all my thoughts on professional wrestling I put behind that paywall. Yes. Music thoughts, everything like that. Less than a cup of coffee, $2.99. You won't regret it, I promise.
Good job, Mike. Thank you, man.
Thank you for having me.
Excellent job by Mike Ryan. Appreciate him. I'm hoping to be back on the Levitard Show sometime soon. That was a lot of fun. All right, Let's get to Big Deal or Not a Big Deal. Big Deal or Not a Big Deal, always brought to us by our friends at Caneswear. Everyone knows Caneswear has the largest selection of Miami Hurricanes gear. Of course, it's in the name, Caneswear, but whoever your favorite team is here in South Florida, Caneswear has an unbelievable selection for all your favorite local teams. Dolphins, Panthers, Heat, Inter Miami, item for men, women, kids, even pets. You want to put a Heat jersey on your pet? I mean, that's wacky, but Caneswear's going to help you out. So easy to find them. Just south of 595 on the west side of University, 2655 South University Drive, or check out their entire inventory at caneswear.com. Make sure you're following on social media, Canes_wear. They're always putting out promotions, all kinds of deals. I'm retweeting them as well, so if you're following me, you'll get those updates also. Caneswear is the spot, Miami sports fan shop. They have all of the big deals. Visit caneswear.com. Big deal or not a big deal? So after the Panther game two nights ago, and the Lightning, they had a pair of goals that were taken away. Now, the first goal, the Panthers challenged goalie interference. They won. I thought that one was pretty obvious. The second one was called no goal on the ice. The Lightning challenged. I thought it was questionable. I wasn't going to be surprised if they came back and ruled it was a goal. They lost it, though. The Panthers were fortunate because two goals were essentially taken off the board for Tampa. After the game, Tampa Bay head coach John Cooper whining and crying about the officiating. And here, he says maybe the goalies should just wear skirts.
Net front battles aren't allowed anymore. And that's part of every buddy's game. It's like the boxing out that goes there. It's like prison rules in the playoffs, but it's not prison rules for the goalie. Like the second something happens, you know, like we might as well put skirts on them then, if that's how it's going to be. I mean, they have to battle through stuff too.
All right, now you know how everybody gets these days. Oh, you can't say that about girls. Oh, cancel John Cooper. Listen, settle down. The whining and crying about the officiating in a game, in a series that the Panthers took that ass 4-1. That's tired. But the whole maybe the goalie should wear skirts, I understand what he's saying there. He's not saying that girls are soft, girls don't play sports. No, he's talking about, all right, there's a certain physicality that you're going to play with each other. And if there is someone wearing a short skirt there, you're not going to be physical like that with a woman because, yeah, that's rude, all right? With a little girl who's wearing a skirt, you're not going to battle with her the way that you are a hockey player. I mean, isn't that obvious? You're not going to beat up on a little girl the way that you're going to beat up on a defenseman trying to keep you away from the goalie. So I get what he's saying there. Everybody's got to calm down with this kind of stuff. So I'm going not a big deal. Big deal or not a big deal? So we know on the Dan Le Batard Show, Stugatz portrays himself as a big Knicks fan. Okay, let's just run with it. Here he is this morning, not happy about Mitchell Robinson fouling Tyrese Maxey for the 4-point play.
Mitchell Robinson is the problem, though. Before we start celebrating Tyrese Maxey, Mitchell Robinson, if you're listening, if you're watching, you owe me a game. You owe me a game. You owe me a series. You better come through in game 6 or game 7. You change the math. The Knicks are up 6. Maxey hits that 3. Let him hit the 3. Why are we fouling? Why are we letting Philly make it a 2-point game? Then Hart come down. He comes down. He makes 1 of 2. It's a 3-point game. Maxey hits the 3 from half court. If there's no foul by Mitchell Robinson, it's a 4-point game, Dan, and Maxey's 3 doesn't matter, and he doesn't have that moment. Mitchell Robinson, listen to me, and listen to me clearly. You owe me one. You owe Knick fans one. You owe us a game. You owe us a series. Make up for it in game 6.
I'm going big deal. I mean, he feels the same way every other Knicks fan feels right now. It's a terrible job by Mitchell Robinson. I'll go big deal. Big deal or not a big deal? You know Wednesdays on First Take on ESPN, those are the best days on First Take because the legend, my guy, Christopher Mad Dog Russo, he's on the show every Wednesday. And, well, this isn't from First Take, but from Mad Dog Unleashed. That's his radio show every day on SiriusXM Mad Dog Radio. Yesterday, he explodes at a caller who is defending Sixer fans selling their tickets to Knicks fans.
Mike in Philly, he's on Mad Dog Unleashed. Mike, good afternoon. How are you today? Michael, shoot.
Dog, how's it going? I'm another New Yorker here in Philly. I got to push back on you just like Jay did. I mean, here's the thing. First of all, you're into logistics more than anyone I know. No one in national TV has said, people in like Manalip and Marlboro, central New Jersey, it's a lot easier to go to Wells Fargo Arena, plus it's cheaper. Can someone get on that? Like,
those fans did not come from Manalip and New Jersey to go to the Knicks game.
No, they didn't. I was playing golf there yesterday. Multiple people said they had relatives who were going to the game. And as far
hold on, Mike, you're a huge Philadelphia sports fan, and you're playing golf at 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
New York sports.
So you're a huge New York. Yeah, let me get this straight. You're a huge New York sports fan, and the Knicks are playing at 1 o'clock, and you're not watching the game.
Doggy, cell phone, hold it. Walk down the course and pitch your shot.
Oh, nonsense! Goodbye. I'm a huge Knicks fan. I'm a New York fan, and you're on a golf course. First off, the golf course shouldn't let you have the cell phone. That's number one. Number two, I didn't play golf yesterday afternoon. I did not play tennis. Don't give me this nonsense that you're some big New York and Philadelphia sports fan, and at 1 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon when they're playing, quote unquote, what you consider a huge playoff game, and you're out there hitting your third shot on six. That ain't working.
I'm going big deal. Dog's 100% right. He is the best. Big deal or not a big deal. Finally, Jimmy Smith. So Jimmy Smith, former voice of WWE Raw, also MMA guy. He hosts the MMA. It's called the MMA Hour. I forget what it's called, but on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156. And here's Jimmy Smith. Finally, somebody responding to Ronda Rousey sounding like such a spiteful woman and all of her commentary about everything that she hated in WWE. Finally, Jimmy Smith sheds a little bit of light on what a nasty woman Ronda Rousey is.
That's what Ronda Rousey wants. All the credit, none of the blame. I want credit for all my wins. My losses, I had CTE and I had this and I had that. I'm the greatest to ever do it. But when it didn't work, it was so-and-so and never me. She never gives credit to the people who actually beat her. The idea that I left MMA and went to the WWE because I had concussion problems makes no sense. If you haven't noticed, KB, I don't talk a lot out of school, right? I don't talk about things behind the scenes, right? Do I, KB? Talk about things behind the scenes, nope. WWE, behind the scenes UFC? I don't do that, right? Correct. I'm a personal rule. Let me let you in on something. Rhonda, if you are listening, the people behind the scenes, camera people, audio people, the people you can push around and the people you can bully and the people you can talk down to can't stand your fucking ass. Everybody behind the scenes that had to put a mic on Ronda Rousey couldn't stand her. I said, why? They said she was a bitch to us from the moment she sat down to the moment she got up. Like, it's our fault. She has to do this interview to hype something in her next fight, and she's just miserable, and she's mean to us, and we can't stand her. They were cheering when she got knocked out. This is what I was told.
That's right. Finally. Good job out of you, Jimmy Smith. That's a big deal. I'm just confirming what everybody can tell. She is a nasty, bitter woman. She can go away. I don't ever need to hear her talking about pro wrestling ever again. She sucks. And that right there is another edition of Big Deal or Not a Big Deal, always brought to us by Caneswear. Caneswear is the spot, Miami sports fans shop. Visit their store in Davie, 2655 South University Drive, or check out their entire inventory right now at the tips of your fingers at caneswear.com. Yes! All right! Today's show brought to you in part by Bet Online. Thanks to everybody behind the scenes who always helps put together such a great show. You guys inspire me every day with all your hard work. We'll talk to you on Zaslow Show 2.0 tomorrow. You know what that means. Ah, the show is over. What better time now than to go out back with a six-pack of Johnny Cuba. That's right. That's what I look forward to after every show. And now my day's work is done. I got a six-pack of Johnny Cuba. We're talking European roots with a Caribbean soul. I'm going to sit outside by the pool here at the Zaslow Mansion and just enjoy the rest of my day. Having a Johnny Cuba makes me feel like I'm right back in the Caribbean. We're talking a refreshing German lager in a can. You can get it anywhere. Sedano's, Presidente, Winn-Dixie. And right now, you got special holiday prices on six packs of Johnny Cuba. Make sure you pick up your Johnny Cuba merch as well. We got the hot sauce coming up. Johnny Cuba, stay tranquilo because more is always brewing.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.